Jingles.
Welcome to the TK Jingles podcast for April 20th, 2016. I'm your host, Jared Negrelli. This broadcast features songs from the Tony Kornheiser radio show, TKJingles.com, and today, the Hey Windy podcast. We're going to focus on the Jingle Fest that Tony had on his show last week and the reaction that spawned on the message boards. Bill Ahecko awakening from a long slumber and challenging me to earn $10. The Hamilton the Musical jingle. A bunch of new songs, including one about Tony's favorite restaurant on Rockville Pike. And then we'll play some new music. It's a bit of a reverse order today, but stick around. It's going to be a great one.
We're going to do Jingle Thursday. Because you ask, what do you got on Thursday? And the answer is we got jingles.
Hey, fellow littles, there's something that you should know. And I may be in the minority. The jingles make for terrible radio. They're horrible and corny. Why does Mr. Tony play them? Entire segments, it's like he thinks they're funny when they're not. I'm sorry if that sounds too cruel, but that's why we call this Bill Cesspool, Cesspool. All our complaints compiled online, let me opine. How do these people have the time?
How do these losers who live in their parents' basement find the time to record these songs? No one will ever answer that mystery. Last Thursday, Tony had a jingle segment, and with songs like Aren't You Really a Republican and What If Tone Was One of Us, it drove a lot of traffic to tkjingles.com. In fact, it was the number one day in the history of the website in terms of traffic, downloads, and plays. So on Friday, I went to check in on the TK message boards and see how they reacted to that, as I do from time to time, and I noticed that someone named Blair had posted a comment titled, "The Jingles Are Terrible," and proceeded to throw in the usual barbs. They're corny, they're not funny, how do people find the time to do this? Anyway, Blair did this on the number one most traffic day in the history of the website, so I thought that was kind of funny, and I decided to post a screen cap of that to the Facebook page for TK Jingles at facebook.com/TKJingles. And fans of this podcast on the website and the jingles in general went to bat defending the whole medium. And, you know, the great twist in all this is that it awoke Bill Ahecko, who hosts the message boards, out of a years-long slumber, and he sent Tony the following email.
From Bill Ahecko. In yes. Coho's, New York. When was the last time we heard from Lehecka?
Been a while, but we love Bill.
Coho's.
My dearest welcome. Mr. Tony, I have awoken from a many year slumber to send you good tidings. At least I hope your show is still on the air. I've heard rumors that the show now is dominated by something called jingles, by some guy named Larry Farfalle or something. I don't know. I'm checking out my message board and I saw some discussion on it. To be honest, I'm still wiping the sleep from my eyes. I'm happy to see that your show has turned into a musical numbers showcase. Well, I have to catch up. But good luck to RG3 and the Redskins this year. I'm sure Washington has won a couple of Super Bowls with him since I last checked. American Idol still churning out stars, and Donald Trump is still hosting the popular show Celebrity Apprentice. P.S. $10 if Negrelli can make this email into a jingle.
All right, so as you all know, this podcast has some super sketchy sponsors. Horse Clips, Illegal Seafood. They never pay their damn bills. So I needed that $10. So here's my response, Bill.
Where you been? Oh, I guess you've been sleeping. Oh, I guess you were sleeping and you missed how we added these jingles. Nigel plays all these jingles one every day and as many as eight on a Thursday. Oh, now where's my dinero? Oh, where's my dinero? You said $10. I want $10. Give me $10. Be la heca. Bill Ahecko, Bill Ahecko, Bill Ahecko, Bill Ahecko, Bill Ahecko. Welcome back, maybe you should write jingles. Oh, I've got a head start, but you can catch up if you write 10 a day now.
All right, now I'm $10 richer, but the saga of the message board hate continues. And it spilled over into Tony's show on this past Wednesday as Tony was teeing up one of the most ambitious jingles to date, one of the biggest, most, as I said, ambitious, crazy, nuts, hilarious jingles. It's a collaboration from Five Littles and is considered by Michael Kornheiser to be the greatest thing that we've ever done. Even I had nothing to do with it, but the greatest thing that the Littles have ever done. So I wanted to play a clip of Tony teeing it up with Michael's response, incorporating how the heck of message boards were fuming about the jingles sucking. Then we'll play this Hamilton song, and then we'll end it with Tony's reaction to the whole message boards uproar.
My son believes, and he loves the jingles. And he's angry because somebody on the Andy Poley website...
Well, that's not Andy's actual
is
website.
...is knocking the jingles. Yes. And you can still email if you can't, you know, it's just...
Yeah, we play jingles, we read emails. That's
what
we do.
This is what we do.
Yeah, this show stinks at ESPN.
So how did this come to Michael's attention? He was surfing TK Jingles or something?
He said, this is the best ever. Because he also loves the musical.
Hamilton.
Okay, hit it.
How does an orange bald man, always full of bombastic talking, head on a local radio show and podcast who's often pontificating 1% of problems, also have a show millions are watching?
It all started when Estelle and Ira had a child, and in the midst of his first cry, he said, "Do you know who I am?" As a juvenile, couldn't work the sippy cup. When he tried it, he slammed it with a plastic hammer, cried, "That's it!" and sent it flying.
He grew guided by a desire to be a writer, so he penned opinion pieces on his teachers just to slight them. His bar mitzvah kinda insipid and uninspiring, cause he couldn't book the classics featuring Howard Feynman.
He found another way to captivate the dollies, his classmates, John Nato and Richard Pollitt. Brent Glass and Peter Lazarus practiced from top to bottom to get on stage and pantomime lollipopping bonnets.
To avoid ridicule, he got sent to sleep away Camp Kiyuma, where an older Jew named Larry was the main man. Soon Larry would leave, a theme he would cultivate. But are you white or blue? Cause it's a break. And what's your name, cat?
Tony Kornheiser, man. His name is Tony Kornheiser, and soon he will be babbling on your airwaves. He'll fulminate.
In high school, Hewlett tended to be academic, but took driver's ed with Sue. Vision, hypothetic, esoteric. Then a truck came through at Mach 2.
The car door went kinetic, but Susan's not moved.
What followed next was college at Hopper up in Binghamton. Named for a professor of Alexander Hamilton, the future institution for a god that dealt the crack rock. Reverse the alma mater of a goddess at the snack bar.
The windows would detach and through the gap would walk a stacked blonde. Tony gawked, slack-jawed, and stumbled back to land on Pixie sticks, Pepsi Fizz, spray from the can top, crumpled in a sopping pile of junk, but what a bad bomb.
He slapped
on biology, Tony had missed the lab parts.
He slapped
off, the teacher said, if you know what you can pass, he's Sally Chips, become monkeys, so that's how he proved that. And soon the new grad would be a newsman.
At Newsday, he would be a newsman. From New York, he was a Hewlett man. Just like you do that writes your BN. Sports, but really info for love. Tony Kornheiser, man.
Tony Kornheiser, man.
Why do we listen to you when you talk about any games or just trivia nights you played? And whether that's not in my state. Ooh.
At the Post, readers jumped on the bandwagon for his columns. Then Monday night, till John Gruden made it awesome.
The PTI's where he steady reckoning the dollars.
Glass grew up with him.
Bubis is his one friend.
Raju said enough with him.
Chelsea is stuck with him.
And Will Bond saw this jingle coming.
All that's left is the browser bound, where he'll migrate.
What's his name again?
Tony Kornheiser, man.
And so why are people, who's upset?
I don't know.
Who's upset? And
I mean, I suppose.
Why are they toiling Andy Poley about this.
I don't think Andy Poley has anything to do with it. I think you're confused somehow.
Yeah, it's the website is called Andy Poley's Happy Fun Time website.
Yeah, featuring stories by Lasso.
That's La Heca's website.
they're writing into La Heca.
I think it's a message board. It's a message board. They're not running to Bill specifically. They're just screaming into the night saying,
why?
Well, you know, people
they're
get
not
angry.
Happy. Some people don't like jingles.
Yeah.
But jingles are good. The emails are good. This is the connective tissue among all of us.
Some people don't like ginger, for instance.
I hate ginger.
Well, there you go. Some people are weird about bananas.
Yes. I don't like bananas either.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that stuff, but that's sort of not the point that I'm trying to make here. I'm trying to make the point that's
phenomenal.
Fantastic work.
Yeah. It's brilliant. And for those that are not particularly big fans of the jingles, you know, hopefully you'll embrace
them.
Yeah, don't.
Sheehan's got a show on somewhere. Go listen to that track.
And if you want to email us, again, this show stinks at ESPN98.com.
And those people live all over the country. They're not sitting in the same room doing that together.
Oh, yeah, they're not renting out a studio.
That collaborative
together effort,
I mean, you know, that's just brilliant. Brilliant, guys.
I actually hate that I can identify them all by voice now. It makes me feel like a humongous loser. And I'm like, oh, that's KJ. Oh, that's Fuse. Oh, that, you know, it's like, you know, everyone's voice.
Yeah. Well, after 3 years, you do recognize a few people that do this regularly. And I think, so, you know, the La Heca message boards, I've said before, it's a cesspool occasionally. And I mean that in the most loving way. But, you know, it's a place for people to bitch. It's an online anonymous forum. So you go there and you say things you don't like, and that's where a lot of the Saliza hate comes from, and I occasionally try to pander that audience with a jingle that somebody recommends on there. I'll try to do that and check in from time to time to gauge the pulse of the show. You know, it does tend to get a little bit nasty in there sometimes. Nice, fine people, and it's often funny, and that's why I was even aware of it. I remember about three and a half years ago when I first did a jingle, I contacted Bill La Heca and asked if he wanted to host jingle files. I had several that I had been working on, and I was considering building a website, but didn't really want to go to all the trouble, which is kind of like the underwriting theme of TK Jingles. It's a bunch of stuff I want to do, but don't want to be bothered to do it, and then ultimately have to do it. So like TK Jingles Liver, I don't really want to go to all that trouble to do that. I don't really want to send all those shirts and do all this garbage, but you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I do really want to do it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's just one of those things like, oh, it's going to be a lot of work. So I contacted Bill several years ago, and he'd gone into his slumber. So he didn't respond until maybe, I don't know, 6 months later when he realized that I was doing this. Said, oh, yeah, I got your email. So anyway, we're 3 years in now. You're recognizing people. People are doing this all the time. For me, having done God knows how many of these things, there was a really rewarding moment on Tuesday. So I drove my kids to school, which I do every now and then, and their school starts at 10 o'clock. So I can listen to Tony live for about 20 minutes before I get to work. And Tony started talking about seeing a sign on the side of the road for a restaurant. And it was, I mean, my jaw dropped listening to this story. It was so preposterous and ridiculous, and a reminder of why I love this show so much, because it was just total one percenter observations, just so ridiculous and stupid. And the moment that story was over, I turned off my radio and started dictating into my smartphone ideas for a song that came to me in that moment and turned out to be what you're going to hear after this clip bit. So for me, having done 300 jingles or whatever, to still have that excitement and passion this far into it and to get the kind of reaction that it drew on today's show has been so gratifying. Robert Berg was in the studio a few weeks ago, and he commented that you write these things and you never quite know what they're going to laugh at. And the best part of this whole thing, of this restaurant jingle we're about to play after this clip, was that they appreciated my favorite joke got the biggest reaction. I thought that this bit was going to just go over everybody's head, and it would just seem kind of weird and quirky and geeky and whatever, but the parts that I thought were funny, they thought were funny, which never happens. So anyway, here is Tony talking about a restaurant, or what he considers maybe isn't a restaurant, and then a jingle that spawned in Steve Lipton style in the moment that I went home and recorded that night, because I just had to get it out of my system because it was so ridiculous.
When I drive, I look at the side of the road, and if there are stores, I announce what stores they are. It's just something I do.
Shell station.
Yeah. Somebody's nails and waxing. I forgot some woman's name, nails and waxing. So you know what that is. You know, you're not going in there for a home-cooked meal. You're going in there for your nails to get done and for various body parts to be waxed. Okay, I'm okay with that. There's BP gas or whatever, Liberty Gas. Now there's Floyd's Barbershop on the right-hand side before I get here.
Where are you?
What's it?
Mattress City.
Oh, yeah, Donna, that's his.
This is from
Joe Farrell. Donna.
No, this is from Forget Paris. This is Billy Crystal's father-in-law.
The old
does
guy
he
in
do
the
this too?
This is all he does.
So this is what I do.
Right, yeah.
Wow. See? That must be a
life imitating art.
So that's my life now. Right. I just announced things. So on the way here, and this is what upsetting. I guess it's upsetting that what happened. When I was
young. You mean uplifting?
No, I mean upsetting.
Okay, just
when I was young, you would pass a McDonald's. Now I'm going back over 50 years.
Right.
McDonald's probably came to Long Island. They were not in Long Island early. They probably came to Long Island in the mid-60s. So I'm, you know, however old I am then. I'm in high school or something like that. And I haven't really noticed this. Today, I noticed for the first time, and I'm sure they've done this for the last 30 years, but I noticed for the first time that under a McDonald's sign on Rockville Pike, as you're going north on the west side.
No, the eastbound lanes or the southbound
lanes. I'm going north.
Right, so on the southbound side.
But that's the west side of the street.
Okay, I mean, that's a little confusing. You're talking about a north-south running street, but yes, you're correct. That would be the western side of
there's
the street.
There's a McDonald's.
Yeah. That's right.
There's a McDonald's. No. East. And what it says underneath was upsetting to me.
If you can read this, you're dying.
No. It said restaurant. I don't look at a McDonald's as a restaurant. No. Not a restaurant.
Yeah, sure.
Where's
the you? Got the Palm. You
absolutely
got McDonald's.
Absolutely not. No. It's what? Not a restaurant.
What's the criteria?
They call themselves like a family
first,
restaurant.
Like a flowing chocolate fountain?
No. The first thing, yes. The first
Google
thing
this.
For me in a restaurant is service.
Yes.
It's
a waiter
service.
Or a waitress coming to you.
Yes.
To your table. They,
and even in, yes. You know, but I don't consider a car hop place a restaurant. You know, where they come out and they put the food on the side of your car.
No.
So McDonald's does have a place for you to sit, and McDonald's welcomes people to sit down, but I don't consider it a restaurant.
How about a fast food restaurant?
It doesn't say
that.
No, I don't think a cafeteria is a restaurant. Any place where you have to get a tray and go through or get your food, go to a counter and then schlep it back to your table, that's not a restaurant.
But I would consider if you go to a place that has a buffet, and your table is at least bussed, and somebody comes over and says, can I help you with something or anything? That's close to a restaurant to me. That's close. But, you know, so then I began to wonder, well, what about the Applebee's of the world? I guess they're restaurants.
They're restaurants.
Because they have service, but they have a certain kind of food that for me, I mean, I'm not making plans.
The internet here is claiming technically that a restaurant is a place where meals are served to the public, or a place where people pay to eat meals. So basically, it's a place where you would order
food
and sit
truck.
And eat it. Yes,
yeah.
Technically it could be.
That's a very loose definition.
So you agree with me, right?
Oh,
when
yeah.
you see restaurant,
yeah. We're not talking about
Taco Bell, not a restaurant.
Tablecloths or
well,
not
if McDonald's is,
or
it
good
is
good food or bad food, but we're talking about a different standard, which
yes,
is like
service.
You are served at a table.
Service. You order.
That's
you're
a restaurant.
Served. You don't buy that?
I'm not sure where I stand. No, I think it would be in a certain class, a certain designation of restaurant. I would call it a fast food restaurant. I may even give it
joint.
A family
joint.
Restaurant designation.
No, but, Golden Corral.
But no.
What is Golden Corral? Awful.
Still, it's a tray situation and you go through a line.
You
I
have
think.
The buffet.
I think.
Yeah, CC Pizza or Chipotle. No, you're standing there
right.
like you're on a subway train,
yes.
And you're waiting to go through, and you know, and
you're
and that's
pointing
not,
at ingredients.
A restaurant
yeah,
is
not
a business
restaurant.
Which
a
prepares and
not.
Serves food and drinks to customers in exchange for money, either paid before or
not
after the meal,
not to me,
or with an open account. Meals are generally served and eaten on the premises, but many restaurants
well, okay.
offer takeout and food delivery.
Okay,
yet.
Then let's go to the magic button. Is the Wawa a restaurant? Is
no.
Sheetz a restaurant?
No.
Because they, by
good
that
point.
Definition,
but
they
not
are,
meals. They don't. They
well,
don't.
The meals.
They do
sandwich can be a meal.
I guess
you get
you're
a
right.
big meal. You can right. get anything you want.
Sure.
You,
Skittles.
You can go what the Royal Farms. The
right.
Royal
you're
Farms
right.
has good chicken.
Definitely great
the
chicken.
The Royal Farms is. I,
wow, has great sandwiches.
If you can buy great gas, stuff. I don't think it's a restaurant.
That's probably
I mean,
a
I
fair
believe,
rule, generally speaking.
This song's called Tony's Restaurant. It's about Tony in a restaurant. Well, not really a restaurant, rather something that calls itself a restaurant. Now, it all started when Tony was driving up Rockville Pike the other day, shouting things out as he's wont to do. Cindy Nail, 35 mph, La Fitness. But then he noticed a sign he'd not seen before. Now, he was headed north, and the sign was to his left, that is to say, it was on the westerly side, or the southbound side, and he was headed north, remember, so this was on the opposite side of the road from Tony. He was going against rush hour traffic, but this sign was for location on the westerly, southern, south side of the street, just so we're clear. So on this southwesterly side, Tony saw a sign for a restaurant, and he knew it was not a restaurant. It was a McDonald's. Now, maybe McDonald's fits the Merriam-Webster definition of a restaurant, that is to say, a business establishment where meals or refreshments may be purchased, but if you follow that definition, then pretty soon you'll be calling Applebee's a restaurant. And really, they may as well sell gasoline there, because Applebee's is as much a restaurant as a Wawa or a Sheetz. The kind of place you'd stop on a long drive, not a place you'd eat a meal or expect to receive your mail. And so let's get back to McDonald's, which is, after all, the point of this 18-minute massacre. If you have to stand in line like you're at the post office, where there are no waiters or busboys, or where the cheapest entree costs less than $30, well then, you can call it anything you want, just don't call it a restaurant. Drive right through in your pickup truck, feed your family for $20. You can call it anything you want, just don't call it a restaurant.
Okay, so let's talk about the process a little bit here. So back in October 2013, back in the infancy of TK Jingles, I got a tweet from Fred Pandrock, and he said, "Are you working on Alice's Restaurant for a mailbag theme as we get closer to Thanksgiving?" So at the time, I wasn't really even sure what he was talking about. So I looked up that song, and I found this 18-and-a-half-minute rambling massacre, as it was described, on YouTube, and it was just god-awful. But it had a very catchy backbeat, which I used there. That's the original Arlo Guthrie song spliced into a loop so that I could sing all over it. And I wasn't familiar with it. I vaguely recognized it. Maybe I'd heard it before on the radio or something, but I just thought it was dreadful. And so for the last 2.5 to 3 years, I've had this idea of doing Alice's Restaurant about Elizabeth, Tony's daughter, because he's often said that he really wants Elizabeth to open a restaurant at some point, and she'll only serve you what's on the menu, where basically you come in and you basically get whatever Tony wants, whatever he says that day, that's what you have to eat. And I always thought that would be a clever refrain, but I didn't really have anything else to go with it. So I've been waiting for a moment when Tony would describe something Elizabeth did or whatever was going on in Rehoboth or with the restaurant, and it just hasn't happened yet. And I've been sitting on that for 3 years. And so when I heard this stupid McDonald's rant, I turned off the radio and said, I have to write something about this. What could I possibly write about a restaurant? That light bulb went off and said, oh my God, I've been sitting on a restaurant song for almost 3 years, thanks to Fred Pandrock. And usually these jingles take me, Joe Arrow has infamously said 15 minutes, but that Laheka thing, while it wasn't very complicated, that was 22 minutes. That Baby One More Time, that was probably about 10 minutes. It really doesn't take that long to write these because they're not that complicated, and often I'm just doing an acoustic guitar or I'm finding a karaoke track, so there's not a lot of work that goes into the arrangement or whatever. I'm able to splice it and all that, and most of the time is the sitting down and getting the computer set up more than it is anything else. But this one, Alice's Restaurant, I spent 30 minutes on my drive to work brainstorming ideas, dictating into a smartphone as I drove with various improvisations around this idea. I spent my lunch break, 45 minutes, writing lyrics to it, and then when I got home, I came in and sequestered myself in my recording studio / office and spent another hour or so. So this was more of a Bergian style endeavor where I really committed some serious time to making it work. So it was very gratifying that it all worked out. So enough about Tony's Restaurant. Next, I wanted to segue to Brian Windhorst. And we'll play a quick clip here from Tony that gets into this whole Brian Windhorst spiel.
Thank you, everybody.
Brian Windhorst, it's a lovely song that Negrelli did for him.
Great job. Yeah.
And that, I think, I really do think that connection is the Cleveland connection.
Exactly. So Brian Windhorst was a writer for the Plain Dealer several years ago when LeBron first had his first stint with the team. And he was a writer I really enjoyed. And then he left and went to ESPN when LeBron went to Miami. And he ditched the plane dealer and went down there. And it was a great career move for him. And he's been doing really well. So I've always been a fan of his. And I've always wanted to have a walk-up jingle. So I first introduced Thursday/Friday back in September or August of 2013 for Ron Jaworski, because it was a regular guest who I liked. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun if there was a jingle to introduce a guest? And they totally overlooked it. Then I wrote Wilbon's Thrift Shop, and they played it once, but they never used it as an intro or a walk-up jingle. And in the 3 years since, I have never had a walk-up jingle on the show. And so I thought, somebody I really actually am a fan of and I care about as a fan, I bet maybe that's my chance to break through and they'll finally play one of these stupid things. And so last April or May, I wrote this Hey Windy jingle, and I sent it in, and it was totally overlooked. And I sent a couple of reminders, like, hey, I'm going to play this, and they didn't want to do it. So, you know, I might have sent it to Brian on Twitter, but he does not check his Twitter feed, which is probably a good thing because he gets trolled so hard. And so I always try to branch out. Elliot Olshansky is similar in this way. I'll notice sometimes on Twitter he sends TK jingles to other DJs or other podcasts, hoping that they'll play it and then maybe they'll feature it in their show. But there's so much noise on Twitter, so much noise in email, so much noise in social media. It's just so hard to break through the din. Feynman always gets back to me when I send him something, but it usually takes 4 to 6 weeks. David Aldridge is also pretty reliable, but sometimes he'll get back in 5 minutes. Sometimes it'll be 2 weeks. And so despite pitching these songs like Thrift Shop and Thursday Thursday, never gotten through, I thought Windhurst would be the moment. So I wrote a parody. We're going to play it now to Tim McGraw's Don't Take the Girl, because I thought this would be a topic that was very near and dear to Brian's heart. It was all about how he gets trolled super hard on Twitter for being overweight or for being LeBron's, you know, personal journalist or whatever. So let's play that now.
Brian Windhurst has covered LeBron James since he was 8 years old. So when LeBron took his talents to South Beach, well, Windy had to go. He's carved a niche and he's awfully good. He's great on PTI. He taught me that nothing good can come from engaging folks online. Windy said, don't read your mentions, don't read the comments, make you wanna cry. And if you don't wanna lose your job, then don't ever click reply. It takes some real self-control, but please don't feed the trolls.
The timing of that song, Don't Feed the Trolls, with all the nonsense from the opening of this podcast, is not lost on me. It's just so perfect. This is a whole episode about trolling and our response to trolls, and Brian Windhurst is trolled more than anybody. And speaking of that, I have a note from notorious troll Brad Weiss. He says, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but the jingles just completely suck, and all of you people need to get real lives and let the show return to its proper role as the purveyor of vital information about the NFL Combine and NBA cap updates. More hot takes, please, you losers. So, more hot takes, please, you losers. He says, in parentheses, step one of my master plan to ever have a jingle played on air again, dishearten the rest of you wonderful people. So Brad Weiss is feeling the burn. There's been so much wonderful content these past few weeks. You know, I'm sure in some way that Alice's Restaurant and La Cheeserie and some things I've done in the past few weeks have been inspired by the fact that the bar just keeps getting raised. And I think I maybe had one jingle played in March. I don't know. Maybe two. I mean, it's ridiculous. I send in one or two every week and I'm barely on the show anymore. So, you know, it's just there's so many great, wonderful, talented people that do this that it's hard to break through. And so I feel your pain there, Brad, and I'm sure that you know, the next one's around the corner. Hopefully you can follow up Alice's Restaurant tomorrow with a wonderful Thursday song. Anyway, so with that Tim McGraw Don't Feed the Trolls song, I always figured that would bomb on Tony's show. So a day or two later, I started an email conversation with Jason Fuse, and I said, you know, I should do something else. Maybe I could do it to like Mandy or something. Hey, Wendy. And I started riffing on lyrics. 21 minutes later, I had it done. So eat that, Robert Berg. 21 minutes to write this one. And I wrote it a year ago. I sent it to Brian's producers at ESPN 850. I tagged them on Twitter with a link. Bupkis response. Send it to Nigel. Bupkis response. So anyway, that was a year ago when Brian was on ESPN 850. He's now moved to ESPN 1540, a slightly different format of the show, but it's the same basic show, Hey Wendy, where he has a weekly show to talk about the Cavs. And so it was very random to get notified on Twitter that Brian was playing the song in his podcast. And not only that, but as you will hear in this clip I'm about to play from the Hey Wendy podcast, Brian is the one that sent the clip in to his own show. So I don't know how he found it. Maybe his wife, who's a Tony Kornheiser Little, somehow came across it. Maybe he went to TK Jingles for some completely unexplained reason, but somehow it made its way to Brian. I wanted to play a clip from his show now. And just to set the context, this clip begins after they've heard Hey Wendy, and they talk about it, and then they decide to play it a second time and then give color commentary as the song plays. So we're going to play that.
Can't wait to read you today, Hey Wendy.
And that had to bring you tears too, Tony.
That song was sent to my phone last night by one Mr. Brian Windhorse. And I have listened to it 1,000 times since. I mean,
it would have been a hit in the 70s.
That's going to be our. We don't even have to introduce the show anymore. We're just going to play. It's from a guy named Jerry in Virginia.
It's part of the Tony Kornheiser radio show. Tony Kornheiser has a radio show in Washington, D.C. that I've been doing for the last year and a half. And he's got these maniacal fans, and they write jingles. And you can tell sort of his none of them writing jingles to anything written after like 1990, Tony. All the jingles are set to songs from like the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And so that sort of tells you the age of the audience. And they write just jingles. And so
it's amazing.
Jerry, obviously a listener to our show maybe as well, in addition to Tony.
No, because he says that your Hey Wendy show's on ESPN 850.
Oh, that's true. Fair point.
But I like to think Kornheiser listens, which is awesome.
And Mr. Tony, they're so reverent to him, they call him Mr. Tony on that show. That song was horrifying. It horrified me.
It gave me a little bit of a nightmare, but like I also wanted to give it a Grammy at the same time. I was just... just so blown away. Like that rhythm and that Hey Wendy is just stuck in my head for the rest of eternity.
Oh,
it's
my
over.
God. My Q rating just took such a hit.
That song, people are going to download the Hey Wendy podcast brought to you by Mazda of Worcester. Visit MazdaofWorcester.com, by the way. And they're just going to cut out that minute and 15 seconds. So we can hear Jerry in Virginia just play Hey Wendy.
He's still singing it.
It's unreal. It's just so great. If you have a song for us, tweet it at us.
Don't
at the hashtag Hey Wendy.
No. I can't take it.
I won't send you all of them, just the great ones like this.
All of them, like there's going to be any.
I was surprised that, because he says in there, you know, like, don't hold your breath for a reply. I was surprised that you saw this. Where did you discover this?
No, so many people do jingles for the Tony Kornheiser show that they have a website just to log the jingles.
Yeah, TK Jingles is where this one is posted.
And so it's just on there. There's actually been a number of jingles written about my appearances on Kornheiser's show.
Yeah, there have. I've listened to a few of them over the past 12 hours. You took all your talents to South Beach.
There weren't many talents, trust me.
Do we play Fact or Fiction after that? Like, what do we do? Mike, hit the song one more time. Sing along with me, Brian.
Windhurst covers basketball.
Yes, he does.
And like Maverick Carter and Rich Paul, went to the same school as LeBron, and sure owes him a lot. You know he's watched LeBron
nothing.
Play even more than his own mom.
Shout out,
Lions got a show each week on ESPN.
1540 KNR2. 1540 KNR2. There we go.
It's just like 60 Minutes.
But better.
Well, at least in the runtime. If you mention him on Twitter, don't hold your breath for a reply.
And here we go.
Thank you, Ryan.
Well, you took all your talents to South Beach.
Not really, let's be honest.
But now you're back on the road, hey, Windy. And you've clearly impressed Mr. Tony.
I'll pretend he's talking about me.
Can't
here.
Can't wait to meet you today, hey, Windy.
If Barry Manilow was in a grave, he'd be spinning in it.
That's Jerry Negrelli of Annandale, Virginia.
Shout out to Jerry. You're my new favorite person of the day.
It is so cool when the TK jingles leak out of this little bubble of the Tony Kornheiser show and make their way onto the Dr. Demento show or the Brian Windhorst podcast or even the ridiculous sports junkies in DC. It's just cool to hear somebody else respond to it. Now I wanted to play Tony's reaction to the song with Brian from his show this past week.
Can't wait to read you today, hey, Windy.
That is Jerry Negrelli doing a song for Brian Windhorst, who's with us now. And people may wonder about the connection, but Negrelli is from Cleveland. Negrelli's dad was born and raised in Cleveland, and I think Negrelli was born in Cleveland as well. So Brian is added to a list of Daryl Landon and Tim Kirkchin and Howard Fineman of people who have been on this show repeatedly, who people have, you know, memorialized and immortalized in song. You ought to feel pretty good about that, Brian. That's pretty cool.
Tony, here's what I am coming to understand. There is a shadow culture that exists in this country of people who are fans of your show.
Yeah. It's a and small shadow.
It is.
Casts a small shadow.
And I am constantly and regularly flabbergasted by it. And Jerry Negrelli doing this jingle, and we played it on my radio show last week in Cleveland, and people thought it was hilarious.
It's well done.
your fans are. They continue to amaze me. Your show is something else, I have to say.
Well, I also agitate them. I want them to do this. It's like if you ask Steve Sands will say, people just scream, La Cheeserie. They're just screaming at him in the middle of a stand-up. This is so
Baba
pleasing
Bowie.
To me. It's so pleasing to me.
La Cheeserie. Picture this, I was with Arnold Palmer sitting near a Georgia green. Out of nowhere, a gentleman approached to deliver a message to me. How could I explain to Arnie this happens all the time? You see, my dad owns a shop that carries sticky cheese and fancy wine.
Hey, Steve Sands, I really had to meet ya. Mr. Tony told the Littles how we should greet ya. Others might ask about the PGA, but Littles only got one thing to say.
When I'm covering the Masters,
La Cheeserie.
With other broadcasters,
La Cheeserie.
With Danny Willett and his trophy,
La Cheeserie.
Or on location in Sochi,
La Cheeserie.
Giving tours of Augusta,
La Cheeserie.
Or with my All-State adjuster,
La Cheeserie.
Interviewing Ricky Fowler,
La Cheeserie.
Or at the gym in the shower,
La Cheeserie.
Hey, Sam's La Cheeserie.
So in the din of all of the Alice's Restaurant and Hamilton and Windhorst stuff, we've overlooked the primary feature of this podcast, which is what are the new songs from tkjingles.com this past week. So I wanted to play a couple of them. First, we have the Jack Sparrow parody by Robert Berg, all about Scott Lynn. Then we have Joe Arrow's I'm Up in a Jetpack Now, a wonderful song about the Wizards that I was asked to collaborate on that I originally sent in two versions, one to the Nine Inch Nails version and one to the Johnny Cash version. This is the tune of Hurt by Leech Juice. And then we'll end it with Jason Fuse and also another great collaboration that spawned from a Twitter discussion of Charcoal Sun in honor of Michael Kornheiser, who's been a frequent topic of this very episode of the TK Jingles podcast. So enjoy these four new songs from tkjingles.com. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Here we go. Tony Kornheiser, newsman audition with Scotty Lynn.
Good morning, this is Scott Lynn.
Together on the show, Nigel,
let's roll. Starts.
The show starts now, Sunday hit the links. Tapped in a couple birdies, put four in the drink. Luckily, Arch didn't get whacked in the throat by an errant slice Titleist VI Pro.
Now Howard Bauman's on the line, talking 12 string days. You know folk era classics in this stash of lemon haze. They start Trump has Lilliputian feet too. Scott Lynn, come on in, time to give the news.
We take you to England for Europa League football.
Gotta be kidding.
The Steelers resolved by the Reds at Anfield. The winner in stoppage time off Lovren's skull.
Yeah, that was kinda weird, but we're back, hour two. Cups are looking smooth, we're on sense of their dudes. Talking NBA and he can't help slurping. Graham's in a mention of his good friend Urban.
Now I'm not doing trivia, Tony's on fire. Obnoxiously taunting like the Rockville Town Crier. Gary gets it right, but Satch wants half credit. His poor sportsmanship can get to you if you let it.
A honeymoon cruise for a Nebraskan couple.
It's supposed to be Florida.
Golden anniversary,
yeah.
He proposed once more. Took the trembling hand of his crippled bride Maggie. The passengers applauded. Tears of joy galore.
She's supposed to go overboard.
Drop a jingle from Negrelli's pen.
Jurgen Klopp, Manulay.
No.
Juke the out tones, cha-cha again.
Carnival cruise, hot, warm and tame.
Scotty Lynn, knock it off, it's time to read the mail.
Nigel, please, can you give me one more chance?
Wait.
The Summer Olympics coming round again. A local hero through and through.
I'm trying to read emails.
Will I'll be on pins and needles when Michael Phelps is in the pool.
Haven't you ever listened to this show?
Okay, then let me give you the weather for Tony's second home.
Do you even know what the NAM is?
Looks like a few Scottish showers in the 2-3-4-5-0.
That's Virginia Beach.
Gosh. Nigel, get us out of here. Do wear white.
What does Argo mean?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It means Argo f*** yourself.
Argo's a good movie, but have you ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean?
Scott, get out.
Ernie Grunfeld had a plan. He said, give me 3 years. But now he fired the coach, and Durant ain't coming here. The Wizards play like the Dubs, but wait, they aren't as good. Perhaps they'll play some D. I recommend they should. What have they become? 10th place, man, they stink. Kelly Oubre's swag makes me wanna drink. And you can have John Wall. When they lose, he plays like dirt. Otto lets you down. Bradley Beal gets hurt. And even though they're in the East, they never go too far. But we can treasure those glory days when Jan Vesely was a star.
He had blood gushing on his face, oh, spitting out blood.
Kevin laughing.
Look at him.
As we get closer to death.
He had a broken jaw, required 27 stitches.
Look at him. Guy, can't finish.
This guy's the VP of this company, and he's flying without a helmet. What a dope. Honestly, oh, a dummy. Without he had taken more than 400 practice jetpack flights, and he went up just figuring, nothing's going to happen, and he didn't wear his helmet.
I'm up in my jetpack now, I'm a moron. Hydrogen and peroxide can get me high. Well, there's that industrial park I'll be bleeding on. You know this ain't fake, like Blake. I'm flying high. You know I'm not fake, like Blake. I'm up in the sky. I'm flying this jetpack with no helmet on. 'Cause I would do anything to be on CN's news. I've done this 400 times. What can go wrong? Wait, something ain't right with this flight. I guess I'm screwed.
In his mind, it's charcoal. No gas can match its sweet aroma. Pyrolysis of briquettes. He loves cooking over air. Boiled meat, pansy fish. We'll never beat his grill acumen. His dad calls out aggravated. Did that chicken get vaccinated? Charcoal sun, Mozart songs. You'll never use propane. Charcoal sun cooks with carbon, only carbon.
Charcoal sun.
Gold, Jerry. Gold.